third and, well, it's not quite the third and final hour, but we're going to be here with you till about 3:40 as the J. Ross celebration rolls along here. I'm Damian Barling, along with the best there is, the best there was, and the best that there ever will be. The birthday boy, Jason Herbert Walker Ross. So it's not his birthday. Yesterday was, but we were preempted by an A's game for about 2 hours or so. So we felt today, in front of the cameras, would be the proper day to celebrate. Had a great conversation with the G-Man, Gary Gerald, earlier. Let's give you an update on what's going on here on the PGA tournament. We can tell you who's not winning the PGA, and that's your boy, Tiger Woo.
Yes, and I don't like him. More thankful that he won this last major, because it's now looking really possible that he will not be here on the weekend. He is in cut jeopardy, big time.
Sports are fun, man. What would the narrative be if the Masters victory hadn't happened and he misses the cut here?
Right.
Oh, man, Tiger's never winning again. Ever, oh, doom and gloom. Basically what it was for, gosh, however many years it was.
Well, and it'll happen this way. If Koepka, who's still in the lead, wins, that would now be four, which is that's a pretty significant.
Yeah.
Will he catch Tiger?
He likes
will
to win him in a row.
Yeah. So, and I've already seen it. Well, this is the monster Tiger created. He's actually very similar to, I mean,
it was a great article.
Physical. Yeah. He's big. He crushes the ball, but now he's just, he's quiet confidence. And the fact that they've been playing together for the first 2 days. But yeah, I think the projected cut, Damien's plus three. Tiger's at plus five with a couple of holes to go. And yeah, just launched his tee shot into the, I don't know what I'd call that, but that's the junk. That's a mess. Actually, it worked out okay. It rolled into the trap. He's okay there. But it was up towards the gallery.
Yeah, looks like some junk to me.
Yeah, he's in trouble.
I'm sorry, what?
Just hit it into some junk, Chris. Yeah. All right. Hey, you never hit it into some junk? Danny Lee had a rough day.
Second guy who was in second yesterday?
Yesterday. He was in second yesterday.
Is today a new day? How do you do?
Not so good. He shot 10 shots worse than he did yesterday. He shot a 64 yesterday, a 74 today. And he's still significantly better than Tiger.
Golf is so amazing. Dude, how difficult it is to be great for 4 days. We talked about it in the Masters. Like, Molinari was really good. One shot derailed him. And there was actually a second bad shot, but for the tournament, he was great. It's basically 2 to 3 shots that derailed his tournament. Man.
I'm trying to find his name, and, you know, searching through the leaderboard of a golf event can be brutal before the cut. Is John Daly going to make the cut? Oh, no, he's not.
No, he's sitting on his cart. 11.
Why is he golfing?
I don't know. He had a cart. Chris showed me the picture of him earlier where he had the McDonald's
cigarette
cup
in his mouth.
Cigarette, and it's like,
he's like the picture of America right now.
And
like, come
flashy
on.
Pants, though.
This is stupid, man. He shouldn't even be out there.
Allegedly, he's an athlete.
Well, he's no one ever called John Daly an athlete.
He is a good golfer.
He was a good golfer. Well, I mean,
he's still in
compared to these guys.
Right, he's not.
What's John Daly's like highest finish in the last decade?
Great question.
He should not be out there. And I like Tiger's response the other day. I walked up with a broken leg. Like I had a broken leg. He was asked about John Daly using a cart.
Yeah,
and I don't know why. I mean, I'm not a golfer. I don't know why the cart is such a big deal. I don't know why it's so sensitive, and I'm not going to comment on that. But the fact that no one else is doing it, and he's doing it, and he's got the – I don't care. You want to drink Diet Coke, drink Diet Coke. But he's sitting in the cart smoking a cigarette waiting for everybody to catch up. Like, come on, man.
It was a light cigarette, too. Diet Coke, light cigarette, he's fine. By the way, I got a package that came during the break from Tyreek Evans. Should I be opening that or
probably not? Someone is just a fantastic listener to the show. Somebody speculated that Tyreek Evans went to an Alicia Keys concert over the weekend. If you get it, you get it. If you don't, you got to catch up.
You said it was a clove cigarette,
which I'm sure it was. The girl had a lip ring, and I never get to talk to girls with lip rings. Said Michael Scott. It's time to indulge your inner foodie at Louis Oliver's, now open at the all-new Harrah's Northern California Casino in Ione. We're going to be with you up until 3:45, but coming up at about 2:50-ish or so, 2:52, 2:54, the brand-new episode of the Champ Chronicles will premiere during a commercial break. Our final commercial break, actually, over on YouTube. We'll say goodbye on YouTube, and then the brand-new episode of the Champ Chronicles will air this hour.
I like it. Look forward to that.
If you missed, if you're just tuning in and you heard the reference to Tyreek Evans, Tyreek Evans has been banned.
Like
he has
gone.
Essentially been thrown out of the National Basketball Association for violating the NBA Players Association anti-drug program.
And has to wait 2 full years to ask for reinstatement. He has already been, you know, kind of playing on rough knees, let's say, for the last couple of years. Though I thought two years ago.
Like his second year in the league?
Yeah, 2 years ago, I thought he had a great season. And I actually thought he'd have a bigger impact this year with Indiana and didn't quite. But banned, he can apply for reinstatement in 2 years.
Tyreek is 29.
Yeah. We might have seen the last of him. We might.
31's not.
No, but with bad knees and being out for 2 years. But, you know, what's the draw then? And a little bit like O.J. Mayo, I mean, I remember thinking of that. I'm glad I looked it up. But 2 years doesn't seem like, in some sense, seems like a long time when you're saying you can't play for 2 years. 2 years from now, will we even remember Tyreek Evans? I mean, we are here more so in Sacramento, but kind of league-wide when you're out of sight, out of mind like that, who's going to be coveting him?
Yeah. I don't think anybody.
Yeah.
And that's not a knock on Tyreek Evans. It's out of sight, out of mind. There's a new version of Tyreek Evans around. There's a long
younger
guy. Who, yeah.
Yeah.
You still maintain that was a good draft pick?
Yes.
Okay.
Are we doing that today?
No, I'm just asking. Not, I won't do it on your birthday.
No, that's fine.
Just asking.
It's not my birthday.
It's number 4 overall pick.
Yeah.
He was number
good.
4.
He was productive.
For a season.
A little more.
Okay. Didn't sign a second contract here.
No.
Fun fact, me and Tyreek Evans had the same birthday.
Okay.
I'm probably on as many drugs as him as well.
Chris Verlotte has just been thrown out of KHTK
radio
for
2 years.
He's been thrown out for 2 years. This station would fall apart if Chris weren't here. Steve Kerr last night.
The bullet there tonight.
Oh, totally. We stole that game. I thought they outplayed us for much of the night, the majority of the night. But, you know, we brought enough competitive fire in the second half to overcome, you know, their great play. We've been here before. I think our experience helped us. Done this a few times, we stole it for sure. They outplayed us.
You disagree with that remark? You think that was just a regular Golden State Warrior game?
You know what? The more you think about the way the game went, you illustrated the 3-point differential. I know the one thing I definitely agree with him on, and he said it as much to Doris Burke, I think, in between the third and fourth quarter. That Portland came out desperate, and they should have. They were the desperate team, came out with a different level of energy than the Warriors, didn't match that. He felt they matched that in the second half. That's got to be painful for Portland, though, to know that they probably played a half of basketball and beat them on a night where Portland was pretty good, definitely better than the first game. So it's going to be a huge undertaking for Portland to win the series, but I'm hoping they can get a game or two.
You mentioned the 3-point stat. That 3-point stat is the Portland Trailblazers hit 18 threes yesterday, twice as many as the Golden State Warriors, and still managed to lose.
Yeah. And I don't know that I would say that you look at Portland and they think they can't win, but it looks like a team, and I don't even know exactly how you would implicate it and use it, but looks like they're comfortable being there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is a pretty cool stage. They haven't been to this stage. I think they're glad they're there. I think the teams like each other. I think there's no venom in this series. And then you start getting down to the skill of the players. And I know we get reminded how good Steph is lately and Clay, but Draymond's been sensational. But then you put great players, role players with great players, and they look better. I thought, whether it was the adjustment of moving Kevon Looney to the starter lineup in the second half, Jordan Bell, I don't know, just everybody that Jerebko, Quinn Cook, the guys that are kind of considered weaknesses to the Warriors roster, well, you put them on the floor with Steph and Clay, and they look better. Or Draymond and Iguodala with those guys, and those guys have played pretty well. And it just feels like it's just a matter of time. How many games is it going to take? 4? Yeah. 5? 6? I don't know. I just can't see a scenario where the Blazers win.
Kevon Looney, 29 minutes last night, and he made the most of it. 6 of 6 shooting, 2 of 3 from the foul line to go along with his 7 rebounds and 2 assists. 14 points for Kevon Looney there. Transition baskets were a major major deal for the Golden State Warriors in that comeback as they outscored the Portland Trailblazers in transition 15-0 in the second half. That's why those leads disappear quickly when you're playing the Golden State Warriors, because when they get down like that, they start running. You get a couple of threes in transition, which we saw from Klay Thompson, and then we saw a backdoor cut. We saw a wide variety of everything in that comeback that the Warriors had.
Yeah, and you know, even I think this season really noticed how many comebacks there were across the league. Of course, we had some huge comebacks here to watch the Sacramento Kings come back from 19 points a couple times during the year. They had the colossal meltdown against the Nets on their home floor, 25-point lead going into the fourth. This playoff series, I can't remember what the largest lead was for the Warriors against the Clippers. That was an amazing comeback. So we've got to get used to 15, 17, 20, 20-point, 25-point comebacks. It's
what was that lead again?
For the
Clippers?
It was pretty was big for the Warriors. Did it get that high?
Hey, Chris, can you look that up real quick? What was the lead that the Clippers came back from against the Warriors?
And that's against the Warriors.
For some reason, 33 is sticking out in my head, but that seems freaking insane.
I don't feel like it was that high, but it was over 20 for certain. And so this one was 17. I mean, that's big, but as you illustrate, I think the quick first run was like a Steph hoop and two Klay threes.
Two Klay threes,
and it's eight, and that's 8 points, and it's a 9-point game. Stotts calls a timeout, and you're like,
what do you say?
Nine feels like one possession.
What do you say if you're Terry Stotts in that moment? Yeah.
And I think they didn't score out of the timeout, and then there might have been another three, and you're like, oh boy, it's happening.
It's almost that's it. And I wonder if that's what Terry says, like, okay, we knew this was going to happen. Relax.
Yeah.
Settle in.
Right.
We just focus on what we're doing.
Yeah.
And if we have to trade baskets for a while, just slow down. The one thing I would say, slow down transition, which they weren't able to do.
Yeah. And every team has a run.
Yeah.
Warriors have a significant. Theirs aren't 8-0. It's
their runs punch
19
you in the face.
19-2. And it's like, man, that just completely flipped the game. And I forget I think the largest deficit was 17. They turned it into a 5-point lead. I remember Mike Breen saying a 22-point swing. You know, from that point on, it was really back and forth. But you hope it takes you more than a quarter to erase the 17. And they did that pretty fast.
Yeah.
31-point lead.
Oh, 31.
Man. Was 31?
Wow. The Warriors were leading 94-63 with 7:31 left in the third quarter.
They had that many points with 7:30 left in the third. 94. Wow. So, and they're a great, historically great championship team. It's happening more and more with the three, with the pace, with the turnovers. Yeah. So that's the only thing I disagreed like with Kerr saying we stole that one, because I guess I initially heard that as, you were down 7. You can come back from 17. Mm-hmm. But it's more of what he's talking about, the way they played, the way Portland played.
Yeah. Because Portland threw a haymaker.
Sure did.
They're going home empty-handed.
Yeah.
And it's hard to not – it feels like we can look at Game 1 of the Eastern Conference Finals and Game 2 of the Western Conference Finals differently, which is weird. Because you said after Game 1, look at what happened for the Toronto Raptors. You had like a 24-14 or something, 27-14 down night from Giannis Antetokounmpo. You got big performances from Kawhi. You got big performances from Kyle Lowry in the fourth quarter. But then you blew it on the road. The game was in your hand. You called it the 50-50 game. It was in your hand. And you looked at it like, that's got to be a kick in the stomach. How do you come back from that? Whereas you look at this one from the Portland Trailblazers, you're headed back to Portland. Do you feel good that you, okay, Dame was horrible in the first half. CJ was horrible in the second half. If we can just put a couple of things together here at home, we'll be able to get one or two.
Yeah.
And in their case now, they got to get two.
I know when we go back in our own minds, we both thought when the Warriors took the first two on the Rockets that it likely wouldn't be 2-2 coming back to Oracle. It might be over or 3-1. Now, the Rockets did win Games 3 and Games 4, but if you remember, Games 3 went overtime. Game 4 was not easy.
Yeah.
I don't think it's as simple as going home for Portland. They're really good there. The crowd will be great. They'll be energetic. You also still have an advantage. I know the Warriors are playing differently without Kevin Durant, but he is an amazing player, and he's not playing, and you can't beat him. That's impressive that they've won three in a row, including the game that the closeout game on the road in Houston without him, to back it up with two games here in a row. And Steph and Klay have been great. Draymond, I think there were some passes he made last night, and I know there's people that are frustrated the way he plays and his energy and, you know, how vocal he is. he had some just absolutely incredible reads with the basketball. That he's a gifted passer. I know I showed you. I think we were watching The Jump, and he had a quote saying, "I think I'm the best defensive player ever." Mm-hmm. I don't think I'd go that far, but I don't know. Everything I know, it was crazy to think that, oh, this is the best shooting backcourt in the history of the league. Okay, simmer down, Mark Jackson. Now it's just known. Like, it's not even crazy talk.
So the frustrating thing about the Warriors is, we focus on we're talking about the run that they had, but not focusing on the fact they shut Dame Lillard down. And I guess there's a point, like, when you and I are both team Dame Lillard, mm-hmm. right? Like, we believe he's a star, and
like
probably an undervalued star, an under-recognized star in the NBA. But at what point, when you're that level of a caliber, do you have to rise above the defense? Whether it's Clay or Iggy or Draymond, they're all great defenders. You're a great offense. You're a great player, period. At what point, because you look at him struggling against Denver now, really this is the second series that he's struggled in. When do you start looking at him like, bruh, you're going against a difficult defense, but you're Dame freaking Lillard. Like, right. You've got to rise above that.
I don't remember the numbers right now for Kawhi in Game 7 against Philly, but remember he took a bunch of shots to get to the number. And
I think
then
feel like it was 31 points on 29 shots.
Yeah, or might have been 41 points on
41 points.
39
that's
shots.
That's it. That's what it was.
Okay, so that's
nice.
I was thinking. but that's not efficient, but it was impactful. It was enough, and you knew there was a time in the fourth quarter he was taking all of the shots, mm-hmm. and he made the most important one, the four bouncer that's legendary. But Lillard, there was a little bit of a run there where he took the 1-3 that was really deep and he made, try to follow up with another one, but there was like, okay, here he goes. Mm-hmm. This is what he needs to do. And then it didn't continue where, you know, Durant's out. So Steph is rising up. Clay is rising up. He hasn't been bad. Mm-hmm. He hasn't been the difference.
You know, I can admit this. You know what he's been in the last two series, at least offensively. He's been what everybody complains about Russell Westbrook. He's been inefficient and ineffective.
Mm-hmm.
And CJ carried them through the Denver series. Not that Dame was invisible. He was not invisible. But offensively, he struggled. He's struggling offensively through the first two games of the series also.
Yeah. And I took that more as, you know what, that was a matchup that worked. And CJ took advantage of it. And you have teammates for a reason. And now you move on. But they need him now. And they need him now because they've got multiple guys that can guard both CJ and Dame.
And you got a floater out there. You're like, all right, we saw in the last possession there, Iguodala's guarding Dame Lillard.
Yeah.
And you put, you know, Draymond or Clay over on CJ. You have one of those two guys still available there.
And that's where you see the value of Nurkic being out.
Mm-hmm.
So now, I mean, Kanter, he's a big guy. Myers, Leonard, Collins.
Because
Nurkic
is certainly Draymond, right?
Probably, especially without Durant and DeMarcus.
Right.
Yeah.
Under the same circumstances for the Golden State Warriors, Nurkic is Draymond.
Yeah, and the other thing we were saying to watch yesterday was foul trouble. And Draymond got that fifth relatively early in the fourth. It's like, okay, this could have an impact in the game. He did not get his sixth. And I think Nurkic would have created a little more headache. And because I think they're getting enough. I mean, Seth Curry was really good. Mm-hmm. Harkless and Aminu did enough. Myers Leonard, I mean, they had enough other stuff. You needed a little bit more from Dame and CJ again.
Did you know Seth and Steph were brothers?
They're both Currys?
They're both Currys. Did you know that?
I didn't see them feature
that.
Their
dad played in the NBA.
Hmm. Any? Did they interview him, or have we heard of him?
I wish they'd cover this. Like, yeah. It feels like it would be a major part of this game. It's like they're totally ignoring it.
I know you said you hope it is done now, right? Do we have to keep... What else is left?
Now we're at Seth's home? I don't know.
Yeah.
I didn't think there was anything left after game one.
Yeah.
I was proved wrong quickly because they did the Doris Burke interview, and then they did, like, they had two rejoiners. Then there were tweets, like, no, they weren't tweets. They were texts, like, Aisha invited Steph over to the family dinner, and Seth was like, nah, I'm not coming.
Ooh.
Very strong. So Steph is married? Does he have any kids?
What? Yeah.
Is Steph married? Does he have any kids?
Yeah,
I don't know if I've seen any.
I'm not sure.
I haven't heard about him, if at all.
Actually, I want to say it was Instagram. Aisha just murdered a troll. She like put something out there, and someone said, "Hey, you should go back to the kitchen." And she said,
"So stupid."
She said, "Which one? San Francisco, San Diego, Miami, L.A."
That's a good line. I think Elena, was it Elena Deladon? She was doing a feature on, I think it was Uninterrupted, one of the digital platforms. Elena Deladon, former WNBA MVP. She's like, I'm so tired of the kitchen statements. Like, at least be creative. Say, go back and order some Postmates or get caught up to 2019. Hey, go get the DoorDash.
Yeah.
Do something like that. Stop telling me to go to the kitchen because I can't cook. Game two of the Eastern Conference Finals are tonight. The Bucks are off to a franchise best 9-1 start this postseason. Headed into tonight's game, a win tonight would match their best ever 11-game start to a postseason. Excuse me, it would match the best ever 11-game start to a postseason by an Eastern Conference team. The last Eastern Conference team not led by LeBron James to get off to a 10-1 start was the Miami Heat, but it was the 2004-2005 version of the Miami Heat. I think that's the forgotten Miami Heat.
That championship group?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The Wade-led was Shaq, but it was Wade.
The Wade-led.
Yeah.
That's where Dwayne Wade became a
Yeah, kind of his legendary star. Role. Can't imagine Brooke Lopez being as hot and as impactful this game, but I can imagine Giannis being better. I can imagine Middleton being better.
What a shot at Brooke Lopez.
Bledsoe was okay.
Yeah.
That's the beauty of Milwaukee. Maybe George Hill's better. Ilyasova, Connaughton, go down the line of different guys that they – Mirotic. I mean, they've got a lot of depth, and Toronto's going to kick themselves for losing game one.
Milwaukee's wins this postseason, much like their regular season, have been very, very convincing. They have outscored opponents by 146 points so far this postseason. That's the fifth highest points differential through 10 games in NBA history. The 2017 Warriors are the highest with plus 170.
Plus, they also have had a lot of comebacks, too. They had a decent one this game, double digit. They had the Boston series. They had a couple of games in this postseason run where they've had to come back from large deficits. And as we've seen each series so far, they've gotten better as the series has gone along. So this was not an ideal start for Toronto when they played so well but couldn't hang on to win that first game.
Teams that take a 2-0 lead in the conference finals are 51-5. That is a win percentage of 91%. The Raptors have never come back from a 2-0 series deficit. They are 0-7 all-time, including 0-5 in best-of-7 series.
And every time I see them play, I remember G-Man said this, Grant and Doug said it when they went to Milwaukee. They feel it looks a lot like – the inside feels a lot like Golden 1. Not the energy, but just even the look. And they patterned a lot of the way they built that arena out of Golden 1 Center. So it's pretty cool to see some of those shots.
Do you think Kawhi has any thought of staying in Toronto?
Mm-hmm.
You do?
Yeah.
Would a sweep kill that?
I don't think so. I mean, okay. I think if it's – I don't think – I think he's – I don't think the end result would matter. So, I mean, if they win the championship.
So, either way.
And he wanted to go to L.A., he's going to L.A. I mean, I do like what we're building here. Or I like it here. And then the nice caveat of saying I like it here, you also, by the way, will get more money.
Yeah,
a
lot more.
Some guys we've seen, it hasn't mattered. But that does matter to other people. A lot of guys, that's what they want, is to get offered the supermax from the team they're on. So, he would have a good team, get a ton of money. Be the franchise centerpiece. There's plenty of positives for staying there. So I don't think it's as dramatic as this is. I'm miserable.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also, has he had his eye on LA for a couple years?
Do you think
he's
made up his mind? Do you think he knows today, heading into game two of the Western Conference Finals, Eastern Conference Finals, excuse me, where he's playing next year?
Gosh, I don't know how that works.
I don't think athletes think like that. They're always thinking, just today, what's this one game that I got to think about? They never think about the future.
I mean, what do you think?
Yeah.
You think he knows?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Nate Duncan of the Dunked On Podcast is going to be with us at 3:05. Sometimes you deliver that stuff so brilliantly, it's fantastic.
Or you think I'm really
it's
stupid.
Absolutely fantastic. We got the mailbag coming up next, where the Eastern Conference is actually addressed in one of our questions today.
I've been watching.
Your day, so
Chris is just playing stuff.
I just have it on shuffle.
Yeah.
Literally.
It took Jason Ornelas a long time to get Jason Shuffle on our, on
yeah,
our
it's
board.
It's not all
so.
Adaptable to all our newer technology.
Jason really does have an iPod Shuffle, for those who think this is just a silly gimmick. He still has the iPod Shuffle.
All the music is in there.
Did you really need the Jordan Shrug for your shuffle?
It's time for the most exciting game in town at the all-new Harrah's Northern California Casino, now open in Ione. Coming up in about 20-plus minutes or so, 22 or so, over on the live stream, over on YouTube, we're going to debut the newest episode of the Champ Chronicles. Tell all your friends they don't want to miss this. And if you're out of the office, get back to the office, get in front of your computer, head over to YouTube and watch along with us as we debut the newest edition of the Champ Chronicles. Cody Baylor is here with us. We got Nate Duncan. By the way, we're going to be around until about 3:45 today. Nate Duncan is going to be with us at 3:05. So we'll get back to our talk about game two tonight, game two last night. There was a lot of talk last night, by the way, that it's just a foregone conclusion that it's the Warriors and Bucks.
Feels like everyone
was talking about, well, how the Warriors match up with the Bucks and what the Warriors will have to do if Kevin Durant isn't back. I never heard anyone say, well, Kevin Durant's absence will really affect their series against the Raptors. Never heard that once. It was matching up against the Milwaukee Bucks.
Feels inevitable. Tonight could change that if Toronto wins, but I definitely don't hear anybody saying Portland.
I mean, I get it. I love the Bucks and I like the Bucks in this series,
but we're really
quick to write off Toronto like this?
That's probably too early. At this point.
Still a lot of games left.
Yeah.
It's 1-0.
Right. Again, a Toronto win tonight is 1-1. They've won home court, and they could be up 3-1 before they even go back to Milwaukee.
Right.
Wasn't it the Celtics that blew out the Bucks, and everyone was saying, like, oh, this is the Celtics to win.
And the Celtics had won five straight.
Paul Pierce said it was over.
Mm-hmm. He did say it was over.
Said Giannis didn't look the same.
Yeah.
I mean, he was right.
He was right.
You can take one microphone away. Paul Pierce... or Reggie Miller?
Reggie.
Yeah, same. Cody.
Reggie.
Poll question for everybody. You can take one mic away, but you're stuck with the other one for 10 years.
Wow.
Reggie. There's got to be consequences.
That's a lot.
Reggie or Paul Pierce? You already said Reggie.
Yeah.
I mean, I assume it's the same.
And because Paul's in studio, it's a little different in studio.
That studio show's not good, by the way.
Because?
There's nothing to it.
Yeah.
Except Paul Pierce. It's like Paul Pierce's idiocy is a gimmick.
Right.
And Paul Pierce isn't an idiot.
Right. His predictions are wrong. That's fine. They're predictions.
Well, mine are always wrong, too.
Whatever. But, you go through everybody's picks.
But he tries
wrong.
To make you feel stupid when he tells you his pick.
Yeah. And everything gets compared to Ernie and Shaq and Kenny.
That's the problem. That's
probably not that show.
Yeah, that's probably a bigger problem. Okay, Cody, what do we got? Mailbag here.
Mailbag.
By the way, you've sent all of your letters here to 280 Commerce Circle. We have gone through them. Just a painstaking process, and we're ready to roll.
Is Odell Beckham already a distraction in Cleveland?
Absolutely not, man. And this is so stupid. It's a voluntary workout. Why is this even a conversation? Odell Beckham is on TV every single day. Take that back. Odell Beckham's name is on TV every day because he didn't go to a voluntary workout. If it's not voluntary, stop calling it voluntary. It's optional. He doesn't need to be there.
Yeah.
Stop it. Absolutely not. 100% no.
Did you see the other drama in the Twitter world, though?
From Odell?
Yeah.
Oh, no. Is he still talking about the Giants?
So, Cowherd, correct?
Oh, yeah. Colin Cowherd,
yeah,
yes.
How he kind of trolled him, and Odell just went off and brought Baker Mayfield in it, and I feel like that's just kind of bringing bad attention. Know how to pick your fights. Like, come on.
Odell is so easy to rope into that.
That's exactly what he wanted. He wanted the attention, and he got it. No one would have known that bit even happened if Odell didn't blow it up.
Yeah, I don't think he's a distraction. And certainly not now. He could become one later.
Yeah.
I mean, I anticipate, but not in something that's detrimental to the team overall, like something we end up talking about on a Monday after a game.
But I understand the starved for content world that we live in.
This is
but talking
searching
about
for crumbs.
Players who don't show up to optional workouts is ridiculous.
Yeah.
Next one. NFL owners are unlikely to vote on the overtime proposal that gives each team a possession for the second time next week. What's the holdup?
I don't know what the holdup is, because do they want us complaining about it? Are they in the school of thought that, hey, if we're ripping or talking about it on a Monday after the championship games or week three when we're upset with the overtime rules, is that what they want, that we're talking about it? I think fix it. Get it right.
I don't know if they're just determining should it be a rule throughout the season, or are they going to put it into effect just for postseason? Something needs to be done.
Oh, a theory.
It's a theory. They don't want to implement two rules that are reactionary to two championship games last year. Because they're already doing the pass interference rule that the New Orleans Saints, that's last season. The overtime rule is now, dude, the MVP of the league didn't even get a chance to touch the ball in overtime.
And of all of the two rules, I think this one is less. It may not be that. There may not be an overtime game next year in theory, but I would put this one in.
Were you not around last year?
I was. We had tie alert every week.
A lot of them.
Yeah.
What? But I don't understand the harm in it. Like, who loses by saying, oh, yeah, from now on, the Chiefs get a possession.
Right. Or,
now on, both teams get a possession.
And it's not hard to. It's not hard to do. It's not really
easy to implement.
Extra work. Yeah.
Yeah. It's not. You really don't have to do much rewriting here. Yeah. It's like, every team gets a possession. It's no longer sudden death until both teams score, and then it's sudden death.
And I almost guarantee we'll talk this year about the pass interference rule. Like, well, they reviewed that one. Did they even get that right? Like, did you think that was pass interference, or that was totally pass interference and they left it as is? So I think we're going to do that, as opposed to this is a very structured rule.
This is actually great. This is just a sidebar here. Judy Batista, the NFL, reported this. There's a potential rule change to the rule change.
Oh.
They're going to change the rule that they just implemented about the pass interference rule. So, let's see, according to the report, NFL owners, because they're meeting next week, by the way, NFL owners are looking at a proposal allowing the competition committee to possibly change the rule without the owner's vote. The committee will look at letting coaches challenge any pass interference call or non-call in the game.
Can you?
You're welcome.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
Everybody's got that.
That's clear.
Maybe that's why they don't change
rules.
Clear
as mud.
Yeah.
None of them make sense. All right. Let's just go back. Let's just go to the next question.
Okay.
That didn't help anybody.
Everyone just, what? Do you think Giannis will dominate the Eastern Conference in a similar way to what LeBron James did?
Are you laughing at me?
No. Okay.
Why don't you say Giannis's last name?
Antetokounmpo.
That's good. You say it fast. No one knows. Say it fast. Well done.
Buka de Beppo.
I get where the question is going. I'm going to say no, because eight straight NBA finals.
Yeah.
I don't think we're going to get that on back-to-back players in the Eastern Conference. But if you're going to tell me that the Eastern Conference has to run through Milwaukee and there are some ups and downs for them along the way, I'll believe that.
Yeah.
I'll absolutely believe that.
Yeah, and I could see him being, like you said, the best player in the league or in the East, certainly. But, you know, As funny as it sounds today, what are the Knicks going to look like in July?
Yeah.
I mean, what if that is Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving?
Mm-hmm.
That's different. I don't know if that's the team to beat, but that's going to be different. There are teams getting better in the East. Does Kawhi stay? Who moves around? But as far as where he is, where that team is, they've got to keep him. They got to try to keep Middleton. They got to try to keep what they have, and they will be a force. But I just can't. What LeBron did is record setting, and I can't see Giannis doing that.
Yeah, I can't see Giannis either. And we don't, like you said, we don't know what's going to go on next year. We don't know if Kawhi is going to be there. We don't know if KD is going to come to the Knicks.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Definitely.
But what if they don't? Like, what if Kawhi comes out west, and what if KD stays with the Warriors? And then suddenly,
the favorite, but you know,
but you have Joel Embiid out there.
Yeah, and think about the Warriors' run right now.
Likely without Jimmy Butler, and likely without Tobias Harris.
Yeah.
Who are probably in Knicks jerseys.
I mean, the Warriors are at 5 in a row.
Yeah.
Yep.
Wow. But now they've got more championship. But that's 4 more years of this.
They're not getting to 9.
So if they're not, why would Milwaukee?
Well, I don't think they are.
Yeah.
So it was just a question.
No, it's a good one. I mean,
one of your listeners.
I appreciate that. They also like my iPod Shuffle is what it said in the footnote, but we don't have to read that.
They said that they liked your iPod Shuffle.
They did.
Raise your hand if everybody, like, listening, if you still have an iPod Shuffle.
Actually,
does anyone still have an iPod?
I don't use it.
Where do yours go? You had one at one point.
Oh, yeah. Like, I think they just die.
Shuffles just die? Because you can't see this next song, right?
Right. It's this
big. You just have to guess.
It's like the size of a quarter.
Just put a bunch of good songs on there and hope something comes up.
Do you know how
Jason's
many
like,
times
all my songs are good songs?
Exactly, it's a big surprise.
Do you know how many times I washed my iPod Shuffle?
Washed.
Why? And does it work?
Well, I think it survived maybe one or two washings, but it'd be like in my pocket at the gym
my
running
tiny.
Gear, and I'd forget to take it out.
Okay,
I've almost. Do you have? You don't. Anyone who has AirPods. Do you know how many times I've almost gotten in the shower with my AirPods on because they're so light? You
wow,
don't know
that's
they're
such
there?
A 2019 statement. I've lost my AirPods a lot.
That'll probably happen to me in about 2036.
You'll have the original AirPod on.
The AirPods will be on a way more
AirPods.
Things.
I'm going to tell you right now, AirPods will not connect to your iPod Shuffle.
All of us are going to be going, ha ha, look at this old guy with his AirPods. What a loser.
Yep. While you're listening to music, how I'm not
there's
sure.
like invisible.
How I'm yeah. not.
There's
sure.
like you. There's like invisible like rooms around your head or something that you listen to music. Rooms by Dre or something like
rooms
that.
Rooms by Dre.
The Lakers are not going to replace Magic Johnson. Obviously, Magic Johnson is irreplaceable. LA will not hire a president of basketball operations. Rob Pelinka is 1,000% in charge. He will operate as the general manager and report directly to Jeannie Buss.
That's good news.
That is very good news for Sacramento Kings fans. We'll be back. We'll wrap up the mailbag. We've got the premiere of the latest episode of the Champ Chronicles on the way. We've got Nate Duncan joining us at 3:05. Your favorite Hammer song is literally the worst Hammer song. This song is so bad.
Let's go to church up in here.
Up in here.
Listen to that. Don't you want to move?
Yes, actually I do.
Don't
this
you
is
want
I
out
want
the
to
door.
Take my headphones off and move right out the door.
Don't you want to move?
You it's like
please don't
even Hammer's
by.
Like, nah. Nah, man. Uh-uh.
It's a jam. Hidden cut.
Like, how did you stumble across that?
I don't know what album this is from.
I was going to say, do you even know what album it's on?
What was... this is going to be terrible. I would say, what's his second? But he's probably had 40. But when he was starting to become popular...
Please Hammer Don't Hurt Him is second. So the one after
I think it's the Funky Headhunter. Too Legit to Quit?
I think it's Too Legit to Quit, then the Funky Headhunter. Too Legit to Quit, I think, was the name of the album.
Okay. I think it's on there.
Okay.
Had that CD. I had that compact disc.
I had that tape, I think.
I had that
CD. I think I had that tape and CD.
Really?
I think so.
I would have thought you would have the CD.
I can't find out which album it's on.
Because it's probably been scraped from history because it's so bad.
But it's on the MC Hammer's Greatest Hits.
Yes, ooh. It is.
It was probably just a single.
How many MC Hammer songs can you name?
That one, Please Don't Pass Me By.
I wish it would pass me by faster. It's time to indulge your inner foodie.
Too Legit to Quit?
You never give me a dirtier look than you do when I insult that damn Hammer song.
Okay, so.
That damn Hammer song.
It is the sixth track on the MC Hammer Greatest Hits in between Adam's Groove.
Oh, yeah.
And Here Comes the Hammer.
Oh, Here Comes the
Hammer.
See, I
know that's both of those. Oh, yeah. Oh, Here Comes the Hammer. Oh, oh, oh. Here we go. It's time to indulge your inner foodie at Louis Oliver's, now open at the all-new Harrah's Northern California Casino in Ione. We're going to debut the newest episode of the Champ Chronicles coming up here in 4 minutes. We're going to be with you all the way until 3:45. Nate Duncan of the Dunk Down Podcast is going to join us at 3:05, and we are going to wrap up with the mailbag now. Cody Baylor?
All right.
Cody,
mailbag. Are the Warriors better without Kevin Durant?
So stupid.
Is any team better without Kevin Durant?
I'm not even going to answer that. It's stupid.
Okay.
MC Hammer is dumb. That question's dumb.
Damien just wants to go home.
Wow.
I want to find what album that damn song is on.
That's on
He's
Too
determined.
Legit to Quit.
It is. It's the 12th song on Too Legit to Quit. It was so bad they made it the second to last song.
Huh.
Second to last.
And you're wanting more. You had to wait for perfection.
What's the last song?
Not that one. Some song called Gaining Momentum that
ever
listened to.
Gaining Momentum. Play it. I'm telling you. That's
Is
it.
Is this it?
No, that's not Gaining Momentum.
Oh. I'm telling you. Nailed it.
I can't deal with you.
felt his heart break.
Oh, Hammer, this is such
Please,
trash.
Please, Damian, don't hurt me.
Is Hammer, I hope Hammer's not listening to this. Oh, this is so bad. I don't think I ever got that far on this tape or album or CD or whatever I had. I don't think I ever got this far. I think it pretty much got to Please Hammer, Don't Hurt Him, and I went Too Legit to Quit, and I just went back and started over.
You missed out.
Oh my gosh.
Can't believe,
man.
I'm sharing some music knowledge for you.
Wow.
And no, the Warriors aren't better without Kevin Durant.
And back to the question.
No, that's dumb. Why are we even talking about this? What team is better without their best player? Do they play differently? Yes. Do you have a two-time MVP on your team? Yeah.
Yeah.
Are they better? No.
No, but it's weird this year we've seen some teams, Boston played pretty well without Kyrie. They had to do it collectively. The Raptors did okay without Kawhi this year, but you still rather have your best player. When it comes down to winning time, you can rely on Kevin Durant. And let's also remember he was having the best postseason of probably anybody in the NBA.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think they can win this series without him. I don't think they'll beat the Bucks if they're there against Milwaukee without him.
Clay and Steph have definitely stepped up, but every team has to step up when your star player is out. They can do well during this series, as we've seen yesterday, but the past two games, but there's no chance that they can beat the Bucks without KD. Yeah.
Would Steph, again, there we are again with the Bucks. Interested in the Toronto Raptors,
right.
Huh? Could Steph step up to this level the way he has if Clay was gone? Or is it just Kevin Durant?
I think he could.
I mean, okay, sorry.
But
we all know he
in
could.
The, in
like
the watching mode, right? And he's not totally watching and observing Durant, but I think he'll like he's Durant's still the number one guy. Right now it's kind of Steph's the number one, but Clay's just as important.
Yeah, they feed off each other a lot.
Yeah.
When they're both shining, their entire team really picks up the pace.
Okay.
What's your thought on it?
I don't know. I don't think we've really seen it. I don't feel like Clay misses time.
No,
it's certainly not in the playoffs, so we've never really seen. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I just think we're assuming Kevin Durant's absence is what led Steph Curry to play like this.
Yeah.
Steph isn't a two-time Hall of Famer.
Can we get to this last question you've been trying to get to all week?
It just came in the mailbag today.
Just today. Just arrived today. What is it, Cody?
More likely to win two majors this year, Brooks Koepka or Tiger Woods?
Creative question is,
yes.
Tiger's got one, and looks like Brooks may get his first one here.
I'm going to say Tiger, just because he already has the one. He's got one in hand, and the U.S. Open's at Pebble.
Brooks Koepka wins Masters. He wins majors, in a row.
Okay.
So what he's going to do here.
He hasn't won this one yet.
He's going to.
Okay.
Did you just jinx him?
No. When have I ever jinxed a team
Panthers?
Or an athlete?
Is this an IPO on Brooks Koepka?
No, Brooks Koepka's price is too high. He's too damn good of a player. We're going to say goodbye to Cody. Nate, our executive producer of the live stream, happy birthday, buddy. Thank you for all that you do. We're going to say goodbye to the audience on YouTube. But before we do, the world premiere of the latest episode of The Champ Chronicles. When we get back, we're going to be with you for 40 more minutes. 3:05, Nate Duncan joins us. Back with more of The Lowdown next.